This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a college football playoff semifinal evening. Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Matt, 1 week ago, you and I were on the air as Ole Miss and Georgia played a classic, and we signed off the air and watched out there in the Circus Sportsbook. Trinidad Chambliss put on a show, 39-34. 7 days later, they're now in Arizona. Ole Miss, Miami, a chance to go to the national championship.
Tim, is it going to be a rebel yell tonight? Or is it going to be a hurricane warning? I don't know. I tell you what, Paul Howard walking out of the studio, very confident in Ole Miss to pull the upset tonight. So the hooks are disappearing. You saw 3.5 pretty much across the board all week. Circa now at 3, minus 120. Several other books, including DraftKings, at minus 3 on Miami. And I do have a bet on the dog tonight. I took the Rebels plus 3.5. Not a big bet tonight, Tim, but I do like the dog a little bit. Not a lot. I like the dog a little bit tonight. And I think this game's going to hinge on, can the Ole Miss offensive line keep Reuben Bain and that Miami pass rush off Trinidad Chambliss? And if you can, if Ole Miss offensive line can do that and allow Chambliss to improvise and make plays, and Kawan Lacy moves the ball on the ground, Ole Miss is going to be in this game with a chance to win it in the fourth quarter, and I believe that. Also, don't discount this angle. You know, this is Betting Network, and you and I pay attention to things like this quite a bit. Miami was the underdog in the first two games of the playoffs, now flips to the favorite. And I think the Hurricanes are a bit fragile as favorites. They were 2-touchdown home favorites to Louisville, lost. They were favorites on the road to SMU, lost. Well, I know there were games they won this year where they were favored, and they won, like late in the season against Pitt. But how about this trend, Tim? And all good trends come to an end. This might be worth something. It might be worth nothing. Miami is 1-8 as a bowl game favorite in the past 20 years. Take that for what it's worth. Like I said, might be nothing. As we're speaking, Circa goes from Miami minus 3 to Miami 3.5 minus 105.
Taking a look right now of how Miami has fared this year as a favorite, 6-5 ATS. Obviously did very well in that underdog role, as you pointed out, season opening win. They were an underdog against Notre Dame.
I was on Miami in that game.
Texas A&M, underdog, they get the victory.
I was on Miami in that game.
Ohio State, you were on that game too.
Yep.
You and I both had Miami in that spot. I'll be honest, it's a live betting show. That's the beauty of a live betting show. I have not bet the side. I did bet the total, gave it out on the podcast. I took first half under 26.5 in this game. Right now, if you look at FanDuel, heavily juiced 27.5, Westgate Superbook 26, Circa 24.5. I heard our good friend the Bear, Chris Felica, he gave it out in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. One of his best bets is the under in this game. Now the number has moved up in the full game. I just feel like for Miami, Matt, the route to success, and you even heard Mario Cristobal talk about it, which is keeping Trinidad Chambliss off the field. So is Miami able to sustain rushing attack like they have or like they did against Ohio State? Mm-hmm. More short passing, not trying to make too aggressive of plays. You talked about Carson Beck's numbers during the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Stay out of trouble. I think we get a lower scoring first half, maybe a lower scoring first quarter. First quarter's 10.5. Full game makes me a little bit worried, though, because if this thing is tight, is there going to be aggressive plays late in this game? You think back to last year in the semifinals, Notre Dame and Penn State. It was 10-3 at halftime. Final score 27-24. Things got a little wacky. You got a couple interceptions. You got broken plays, and I think that could ultimately happen. So I didn't play the full game, but I did play first half under. How is this game being bet, Matt? It's a great question. Let's go behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Chuck Esposito, frequent guest of the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, as well as this program as well. Red Rock Casino race and sportsbook director. Chuck, how is this game being bet for you guys? Let's start with the side. Is there a side that the public is piling on, or is this a good two-way action game so far?
Actually, the ticket count, Tim, is really good two-way. It is 50-50, which I really can't remember us talking about that. But money really does favor the Hurricanes in this game. The bigger bets have come in on the Canes on the money line side and first half. We opened the game 3-20. The highest we have been 3.5-20 juiced, but we sit at 3 juiced slightly right now in favor of the Canes. So clearly one-sided is money on one side, but ticket count good two-way. Total, 60% of the tickets are on the over in this game so far.
Chuck, how about sharp money? Anything you would classify as sharp on either side or big bets?
The larger bets, Matt, have clearly come in Miami. There was a little bit of a push when we were at 3.5 from some sharp action on Ole Miss in this game. But right now, there's nothing that is going to push us either way off the 3 at this point. But really good two-way action on the game as far as ticket count goes, but bigger bets clearly on the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I thought you would get pretty good action tonight. There's seems to be a split opinion on that game. That's reflected what you're seeing at the sportsbook, Chuck. When you look at Ole Miss, this is a great story, right? The story of Trinidad Chambliss and the Rebels dissed by their coach, trying to prove they can win without Lane Kiffin. Is it one of those situations where you got to resist betting on what you want to see as opposed to what you think you might see tonight? I'm saying that I think a lot of people want to see Ole Miss win this game, right?
Yeah, I think it's hard, Matt, because I think they are a good team. I think they, you know, they have that kind of circle the wagons mentality. They have something to prove. After Kiffin left, I think everybody thought, you know, God, they're going to be seeded poorly. They're going to be one and done. And they proved the exact opposite. Miami comes off that big upset win against Ohio State. I will tell you from people that I know that are at the game that it looks to be 5-1 in favor of Ole Miss fans at the game. So they're going to have a decisive advantage in that regard tonight. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. I love Chambliss. You can make a case that in the playoffs he's been the most dynamic player so far. And I love the team with the chip on their shoulder. You look at Miami, I mean, they had those two losses, the loss to Louisville, the loss to SMU, and we didn't really think they'd be in this position several weeks ago. But they are, and I think it's a really intriguing matchup, and happy to root for whoever we need, but I think we're going to need Ole Miss when this game kicks, just based on money, not ticket count.
Chuck Esposito joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. He is the race and sportsbook director at the Red Rock Casino, part of the Stations Casino Group. I've got my Stations app open right now. You've got a plethora of options when it comes to props for this game. I think over 350 total betting options you guys have got offered over there. So how are the props bet in this game for you guys?
I think it's all offensive, guys. When you look at, you know, Beck and Chambliss and Lacey, they're looking to target the offensive guys. The betting public loves where there's more scoring. I think you look in the two playoff games, this is the higher total. We sit at 53 right now. So it's really about the offensive props. For us, you want some different guys to score, maybe some unusual scores in the game, because the betting public really favors the key offensive kind of key guys on offense, the skill position players.
I want to circle back real quickly to the total. You mentioned 60% of the tickets on the over for you guys, which isn't surprising. Honestly, I thought it would be a little bit higher, knowing we saw Ole Miss put up that incredible performance on New Year's night. So going back to the total, how much of that moved, and have you seen any sharp money one way or the other on the total tonight?
Just a little bit of sharp money on the over. We opened the game 52. We went to 52.5, 53, started to go back down. But again, game day now, we've seen a little bit of a push back to 53 where we sit. I don't think there's much higher out there industry-wide. You might be able to find a 53.5, but I think pretty much we're at consensus right now of what you're seeing across the board, guys.
I see Tim Murray with his STN app open right now, about ready to fire a big bet, Chuck. Beware.
Be ready.
Here it comes.
We'll go ahead and we'll hit approve. No worry.
He'll go the opposite way. He's on the over. All right, we're going to move down on our total.
How about the Friday Night Lights? We've got Indiana and Oregon. Where do you stand on that game in terms of the numbers and what you're seeing in betting action?
Yeah, this game, too. I mean, the number has actually come down. There's been some sharp money that has showed on the Ducks, guys. The highest we've been on this game, we opened at 4.5. We're at the very lowest now at 3.5. But when you look at ticket counts, it really does favor Indiana. 65% of the tickets are on the Hoosiers in this game. You think about these two teams, guys. When you went into the season, Oregon 12-1 to win the national championship, one of the teams we thought could be in this position. Indiana, on the other hand, 100-1. So some tremendous value there if you have that ticket. Didn't think the Hoosiers would be here. They beat them on the road, gave Oregon their only loss in that game. It was not a good game for Moore. Two interceptions. He did not pass well in that game. Oregon knows what they have to do to win this game. He was sacked 6 times in that game, Moore. He's only been sacked 8 other times in all their games combined. Really good matchup, but how unusual to see Oregon, a 7.5-point favorite in that earlier game, and now a 3.5-point dog in the playoff game.
Before we let you run, Chuck Esposito joining us. Chuck, I just put it into the app here. Just curious what the price was. A Miami to Indiana moneyline parlay at your shop is +150. How important is it for you guys to see one of these dogs win?
Yeah, I think we'd love to see one of the two dogs win. I think the matchup overall are great. We're in pretty good shape as far as the future book goes with most of the teams that are left. But just looking for two really competitive games, guys. You look at both games with low point spreads hovering around that field goal, which I think bodes well for hopefully two really good games.
Chuck Esposito, race and sportsbook director, Red Rock Casino, giving us the latest about 30 minutes away from kickoff from behind the counter. Appreciate it, Chuck. Enjoy the game.
All right, guys. Thanks. You too.
Good two-way action, Matt.
Expected that.
50-50.
Yeah, tomorrow night, I think it's going to be similar, but probably a little bit more Indiana action on Friday night.
It's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. We are a half hour away from kickoff. Miami, Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl down in Glendale, Arizona.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Circus Sportsbook just moved about 15 or 20 minutes ago to 3.5 in favor of the Miami Hurricanes. So late action, at least here at Circa, coming in on the Canes. Great insight just a moment ago from Chuck Esposito. They remain at 3 juice towards the Miami side at -20. 50-50 action on tickets. However, more money on Miami, but he did mention not real much sharp action, at least at stations, on this game from a side standpoint.
Yeah, well, I wonder what the report is from Circus Sportsbook where we sit, because you know sharp bets are going to be rolling in probably right up until kickoff. And Tim, I ask you, if there's one handicapper in the world you wanted to get on at halftime tonight to break down this game, who would it be? And you said, without a doubt, you said Dan Saley. So I made it happen. You make a wish, I'll make it happen. Dan Saley's going to jump on at halftime with us tonight. I can tell you that Dan is on Miami -3. He's on Indiana moneyline tomorrow night, which I thought was interesting that you threw out the favorite moneyline parlay. And that's +150.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Miami a little bit tonight, you like Indiana tomorrow night, that's not a bad way to play it. Obviously, Georgia foiled our moneyline parlay a week ago with Indiana in terms of how that went. But, yeah, like you said, +150, actually a pretty good price if you like both favorites, don't want to lay the points. I'm telling you, I think both these games could go right down to the wire. You handicap it, it's, I think, a razor-thin difference between these teams. And it would not surprise me to see these games decided by 3 points. And I think with the number sitting out there at 3.5, I decided to take the dog in both games. That said, I'm not going to be a bit surprised if the favorites win both of these. We were talking with Mitch Moss about the NFL playoff games on the way out of the studio. I feel like you got a bunch of coin flip type of decisions to make against the spread in the NFL playoffs this weekend. A couple games I really like, but in general, out of the 6 games, don't have a strong opinion. And, Tim, kind of the same true here with these two college football playoff games. I'm not gonna sit here and act like Ole Miss is a five-star play tonight or Oregon's a five-star play tomorrow. You know, if you got a top service.
You got to call your service line there to get the true five-star play.
Indiana was a five-star play for me last week, but nothing tonight. Actually, I think this could be the type of situation, even though I don't think it's a back-and-forth game, you might see something here in the first half that tells you, that leads us to a live bet one way or the other. That's what we're going to be watching for tonight. I don't think it's going to be a back-and-forth type of game. It's not going to be a great live betting game necessarily where you got two quarterbacks who are trading scores, kind of like the Bears and the 49ers a couple weeks ago on Sunday night. I don't anticipate that. I think you played this under, right? You played first half under?
First half under.
Okay.
And took a little nibble on first quarter under. I don't usually dive into that, but look, we're going to be on the air. This is the second, we only got three college football games left. You and I love to bet this sport, so I did dive in. But my favorite play, I guess, if you want to classify it that way, would be first half under. Played at 26.5. There's some 26s out there. So I think the way I see it, and maybe I'm crazy, maybe Ole Miss is going to come out and sling it all over the yard. And
you are crazy.
Yeah, I've been called a lot worse. But I feel like this is a bit of a feeling out grinder of a first half. The second half, though, maybe we play second half over if we feel like this thing could open up. That's where I feel like this one could ultimately play out. Matt, this has been such a bizarre situation regarding Ole Miss. Oh. Lane Kiffin, he departs. He says, I wanted to stay, but they wouldn't let me stay. The players have kind of come out and had some pointed jabs.
He didn't want to stay.
No, if he
wanted to stay, he would have stayed with Ole Miss.
It wasn't for the money. Ole Miss said they would pay him the same. It wasn't the money situation, right? He felt like his team had a better chance to win at LSU. But now, here they are, two wins away. Pull the upset over Georgia. Pete Golding, they quickly said, no interim tag. You're the guy. You're in charge now. You're the head man. Let's hear from Pete Golding as he gets ready for his third game as the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels.
And to be honest with you, I don't think the players give a damn who runs by the tunnel. Right, does it make sense? They care about their plan. They care about getting held accountable, right, and how they're going to prepare. And they care about people that care about them. Right? And I think that's been the message our players have created. But I don't have to say to anybody else.
Pete Golding, man.
I'm
warming up on this dude.
I wrote about this game, and it's up on vsin.com today. And I said, Lane Kiffin's a phony. He's been a phony for a long time. He's pretending to root for Ole Miss from afar at his new home at LSU. Pete Golding's an authentic character, Tim. I know that a lot of times when you're home in the afternoon, you watch shows like The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful,
sure.
Right? You watch those?
Oh, yeah.
Would Lane Kiffin be the
ideal? Days of Our Lives, is that still on?
I don't know. would Lane Kiffin be the ideal soap opera actor?
Sure.
I mean, he's in the middle of all the drama. He loves the drama. Attracts it. Some people attract drama.
Now, he did put this roster together, and Charlie Weiss Jr. will still be there calling the plays.
By the way, he's doing an outstanding job, Charlie Weiss
he's
Jr.
He's been unbelievable, and he's going to garner some NFL interests. He already has signed a deal with LSU. I know LSU folks are hoping that he continues to make his way down to Baton Rouge. They will today be without Joe Cox and George McDonald, their receivers and tight ends coach. Does that look, when I think back to how I bet this game on January 1st, and I was on the wrong side, I thought Georgia would take care of business. I thought this distraction and everybody traveling back and forth, this would be the undoing. It wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, two more coaches will not be on the sidelines tonight for LSU or in the press box, not sure where they ultimately call the game. But Charlie Weiss Jr. still there, running backs coach Kevin Smith still there. Are we going to get to the point that this ultimately is a deterrent for Ole Miss?
I don't think if you haven't got to that point now, you're not going to get to that point, Tim, because if these guys are well-prepared and focused on this game tonight, do you think they're going to be distracted before the national championship game?
I wouldn't think so, but I'm just asking the question.
I thought if there was going to be a distraction, it was going to be before the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Right? Fully focused for that first playoff game, want to prove we can win without Kiffin. And then the distraction might come after that when the transfer portal is about to open. All these assistant coaches have different requirements they got to do for different jobs, and that's where the distraction comes in. But it didn't happen. in the second half. Actually, Kirby Smart. How many games did Kirby Smart coached as a head coach?
It was 138.
Yeah, about 140. And the guy who was coaching his second game as head coach coached a better second half than Kirby Smart did in New Orleans last week.
Massive blunder late in the game, throwing a pass with 50-some-odd seconds to go.
The one thing I don't like about this is I always say this about the NFL. If you're going to win handicapping the NFL, a lot of times you have to bet the opposite of what you saw last week, right? On that Sunday night, we saw the Bears go out to San Francisco. Offense was unstoppable, putting up huge numbers. They come home, play the Lions, held scoreless through like the third quarter. Looks like a totally different team. A lot of times, you have to forget the recency bias and bet the opposite of what you saw most recently in the NFL. What did we see most recently? We saw Trinidad Chambliss throwing 362 yards, two touchdowns, drawing comparisons to Johnny Football. And then tonight, hopefully, he doesn't get humbled by the Miami defense. That's why we're talking about the live betting aspect of this game, Tim. We're going to be watching the Miami defensive line and the Ole Miss offensive line. And if it looks like a jailbreak, if the pressure's all over Chambliss, that's going to be bad news for the Rebels, right?
Well, Carson Beck, you would think, Matt, he should have plenty of time to throw some passes. Ole Miss pass defense 84th in getting to the quarterback nationally. Miami offensive line number one. And there's a little familiarity because Carson Beck started against Pete Golding's defense twice. Beat him in 23, but lost to him last year. Let's hear from the quarterback of the U.
Yeah, to an extent, you know, watching both of the Georgia versus Ole Miss games, obviously the Sugar Bowl and then the game that they played in the regular season, it's kind of weird to watch the film and be like, oh, this is blah, 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 like, and just bang. Obviously, I remember all the lingo from the Georgia offense and what we called all the plays. So, it does make it a little bit easier to break down and understand how they were trying to attack them on defense.
Carson Beck, a little familiarity with this Ole Miss defense coordinated by Pete Golding.
Playoff games, Carson Beck, 103 and 138 in terms of yards passing. Tim, do you see a player prop tonight that you love on Carson Beck?
Love? No. Like? Sure.
Okay.
Over 3.5 rushing yards,
all
Matt.
Right. Okay.
Carson Beck ran for...
I knew you had something.
Ran for about, 25 against Ohio State, mm-hmm. had a 11-yard scramble. Carson Beck extends the chains a couple times tonight, just no sacks.
Right.
Sacks do go against you mm-hmm. in college football. Hey, just a reminder, if you're looking to bet and you're here in Nevada, it's the best time to bet with the all-new Boomer Sportsbook, bringing you the action, football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use the code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets, plus minus 105 on all pro football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. How about we get more insight and more betting analysis on tonight's Fiesta Bowl? Mark Lawrence, he'll join us next as we get ready for Ole Miss and Miami.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Moments away from kickoff, Miami, Ole Miss, the Fiesta Bowl for all the Tostitos, or nowadays for all the Vrbo.
What is Vrbo?
It is a rental site that you can rent houses on, Matt. Vacation houses.
Never used it.
No? No. Airbnb? Never done that?
I have eaten a lot of Tostitos over the years, but that's no longer the sponsor tonight. So,
I've been to one Fiesta Bowl, and it was the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
You know, I went to a Fiesta Bowl once, Tim. It was Ohio State Notre Dame. Did not turn out well for the Fighting Irish.
And it actually turned out better than the one I went to. Oregon State Notre Dame. Remember that one?
Yeah.
At least Notre Dame scored a couple touchdowns in that one. All right, we'd have a Fiesta Bowl tonight. And right now here at Circa, just getting the live look, 3.5 minus 10 both ways, Miami and Ole Miss. And our next guest, he's got some thoughts on this game, has got a play on the side. It is Mark Lawrence who joins us right now. And Mark, Miami finds themselves laying 3.5 here at Circa, 3 at other spots. How do you see this one playing out tonight in Glendale, Arizona?
Well, as we talked off the air, guys, I think this game will come right down to the wire. I'm a little bit surprised Miami is favored as much as they are. I thought this game was more like a pick 'em, but you know, the odds maker, I don't ever second guess him. We just handicap the line that he puts out there. And I'm a little bit anti-Miami, even though I live down here. They come out of the ACC, which was a terrible conference this year. But what really gets me inside this game is if you look at Miami, they're the only team ever in college football playoff history to win back-to-back games as underdogs. And now they're going to dress up as a favorite. And can they handle that role? That's the question. What I see here is a team that won back-to-back times as an underdog but was out-yarded in both football games. So I think they may take the field with a little bit of an air of overconfidence in the game. And you really can't shoot holes at Ole Miss. They've done a terrific job. I think they're a better football team right now than before Lane Kiffin left, since Lane Kiffin has left. And a lot to like about Ole Miss here. Only one loss in the season here, and that's another part of this equation here. The dog with the better record has been really terrific in college bowl games, and especially in the playoff. It's on a 7-1 ATS winning run. So there's a lot to like about Ole Miss to me in this game.
Mark Lawrence, Playbook Sports. Mark lives in South Florida. Mark, off the air, you said Miami is somewhat of a fraud and about to get exposed, right?
I believe they are.
Okay.
I've never been much of a Mario Cristobal fan, and I think they found their way into the playoffs, snuck in the back door, per se, if you will. And you look at their stats, they don't overpower anybody. They just kind of hang around and take advantage and take opportunities. They do that a lot. But I think right now, like I say, Miami's about to get exposed here. The quarterback, Beck, is nothing special here. And I like to see this football team fall tonight, and I'm going to be with Ole Miss here real strong tonight.
Mark Lawrence with us, and Mark, you always have a bunch of significant trends you put in the write-ups on games. I found one last night that Miami is 1-8 as a bowl game favorite the past 20 years. What trends jumped out to you for this matchup between Ole Miss and Miami?
Well, Mario Cristobal, I talked about him. I mentioned about teams with a better record. When he's done that in his career 13 times, he's gone 4-9 to the spread, and he's in that role here in this game tonight, laying points nonetheless. I don't think that's a really good omen for him to be in this particular role. Southeast Conference, real nice team as a bowl dog against teams coming up back-to-back wins as an underdog, 6-1-1 to the spread. So a lot of good trends here come both to Ole Miss and the Southeast Conference in this matchup.
Mark Lawrence joining us here once again, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. We're moments away from kickoff down in Glendale, Arizona, and a play for Mark. He is on Ole Miss. He likes the points. He actually likes him to win the game as well. Mark, anything you see on the total tonight in this one?
No, I'm not really much of a totals guy, but I do see Ole Miss coming off of a couple of high-scoring efforts here. And this, the deeper you get in this stuff, the more defense wins football games. I know Miami brings the tad of a better defense here, but if I had to play this game, put a gun to my head, I'd probably look under for the importance in the game.
All right, let's get to tomorrow night. Of course, we've got two semifinals. That's how it works. And we've got Oregon taking on Indiana, a rematch of what we saw back in Eugene back on October 11th. How do you see tomorrow night playing out right now? Indiana, about a 3.5-point favorite against the Ducks.
Well, you can't shoot holes at Indiana, that's for sure. Everything they've done has been superior. Kurt Cignetti is the real deal, and this football team is on a real high. I don't know if they can get any higher than they are here right now after knocking off the Ohio State Buckeyes to get here. But they beat Oregon in Eugene earlier this year, and that was an Oregon team that was 41-1 at home the previous 42 games, and Indiana went in there and beat them. Now we've got a complete reversal of a role here in this football game. They were 7-point dogs, and now they're laying points here. I think this is where Indiana gets exposed in a football game like this. Nobody gives Oregon much credit. All they do is play football games. They win. They're competitive. And if you take a look at what they do well, in Big Ten games, Oregon 11-1-1 to the spread as an underdog. That's a pretty nice little record for Oregon to be in against this Big Ten opponent they're up against here tonight. I'm going to play Oregon plus the points here, and I'm not going to be at all surprised if they don't pull the rug out on Indiana.
Mark Lawrence, Playbook Sports on both dogs, Ole Miss and Oregon. And, Mark, you did a great job on your write-ups as usual. I looked at your magazine. How about the incredible stat of the week you had on the Indiana Hoosiers? You remember that off the top of your head?
Yeah, I do. Indiana really, really has struggled in the past, guys, when they've gone up against AP top five ranked teams in their team history, 3-71 straight up.
Of course, that was pretty much pre-Kurt Cignetti. And
yes, it was.
He is rewriting a lot of history about Indiana football. Let's get to the NFL. And, Mark, let's start with Rams and Panthers on Saturday in Carolina. Rams laying a big number, 10.5 for 11. You like the dog. I think you like taking the points here, right?
I do like taking the points here, Matt. Home dogs are a proven commodity in the NFL playoffs. You go back to 1980, how about 35-15-2 to the spread, and 6-0 when they're a dog of more than 4 points, which Carolina checks both of those boxes. You've got the Rams here. This is a classic case of a good team playing down to the level of a bad team. Carolina with a poor losing record here. But there's an angle in our newsletter here that comes out in this game. Any NFL home dog, if they lost their previous home game outright and they were not a dog of 6 or more in that loss, they are 14-1-1 against the spread in the playoffs. That all points to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, Circa was at 11 on this game, and it has dropped to 10 here, and it's 10.5 across the screen. Mark, very interesting number you had in your newsletter on the Packers-Bears matchup for the straight-up record of number 7 seeds, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a number 7 seed. I know that. you know, since they went to a 14-team playoff, number 7 seeds are 1-10 straight up outright in the playoffs. That's the role Green Bay has to overcome in this contest, and they're dressing up as a road favorite in the game. You've got another live home dog here, I believe, in Chicago, and Chicago enters here off a 2-game losing streak, 2 games losses exact. Teams in that role are 15-3 straight up, 14-4 to the spread. Carolina Panthers, by the way, in that same identical role.
Mark Lawrence joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, as we're moments away. National Anthem just sung down there in Glendale, Arizona. Mark, before we let you run, Monday Night Football got the lowest total of the wild card weekend. A little bit of sharp money, at least from some of the folks that we talked to, coming in on Pittsburgh. What do your numbers say about Pittsburgh hosting the Houston Texans on Monday night?
Well, I'm not going to hop off that home dog train for sure, and I especially won't do it on a Monday Night Football game. But, you know, the fact of the matter is this year, if you look at teams against other fellow playoff teams this year, Pittsburgh was by far the worst team of all the playoff teams. They were just 1-5 straight up against the spread and in the yards. But this is a different ball game here. This is a home dog situation for them. And Mike Tomlin, some way, somehow, I don't know how he does it, he finds ways to win football games. I think the key edge in this contest is the quarterback experience. Aaron Rodgers, in his career, take a look at 21 career starts in the postseason. C.J. Stroud, just 3 starts. I'm going to back the experience of Aaron Rodgers as a home dog in this game and see if they don't send that number one ranked defense from the Texans, Houston, back home with a loss.
Mark Lawrence, PlaybookSports.com. Great newsletter out there as well. Appreciate it, Mark.
Hey, you guys, enjoy the games. Be well. Take care.
Moments away, Matt, kickoff down there in Glendale. Real quickly, I just want to pass this along. Mm-hmm. Northwestern, the Purple Cats of 37-31 on Michigan State, 3 minutes into the second half. So,
talk about a team that loves the underdog role, yeah. The Purple Cats.
Yes.
Football, basketball, seems like it's always the same. A quick update on where the numbers are before we get to kickoff here, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And Circa went from 3 when we kicked off this show at 4 p.m. Pacific a half hour ago, 40 minutes ago. Circa was at 3. Circa is now at -3.5, -110. And DraftKings holding at Miami -3, -118. But you're starting to see a few more 3.5s pop up in the market. FanDuel's got one. Westgate Superbook sitting right at 3, but it looks like the total is going to close 53 here at Circa.
All right, best bets in this one for us. Small play on Ole Miss +3.5 for Matt. I took first half under 26.5. And the always fleet of foot, Carson Beck, over 3.5 rushing yards.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Prime Time alongside Matt Newmans. I'm Tim Murray, about to get underway down in Glendale, Arizona. Miami taking on Ole Miss. And right now, as we take a look at the betting board, Miami, a 3.5-point favorite here at Circa. Plenty of threes out there if you're looking to back the Miami Hurricanes. Cheapest money line on Miami looks to be around minus 170 or so. And if you're looking to back Ole Miss, 3.5s are out there, plus 165, plus 170. Actually, no, plus 170, but plus 165 here at Circa, Matt.
Circa just dropped the total, too, from 53 to 52.5. But I do see 53.5 out there, too. So that's where we're going to be, about 1 minute away from kickoff. And, Tim, I think this is going to be a game similar to what we watched last week with Ole Miss and Georgia. So not a high-scoring game like that, but a game that goes down to the wire in the fourth quarter.
So 52.5 is the number, as Matt mentioned here at Circa. 53.5 is out there. A bet for me on the first half under. DraftKings has that at 26.5. That is what I bet. And heavily juiced 27.5 at FanDuel. Circa sits 24.5 for the first half. We'll see how this game plays out, whose game script ultimately is the winner. Speaking of winner, Matt, our guy Ryan Kramer has been giving out winners all season long in these primetime games. Yeah. So let's get to Ryan Kramer's first touchdown bets. He's going Malachi Toney, 8-1. Trinidad Chambliss, 16-1. Carson Beck, 30-1. And the long shot, Luke Haz, 35-1.
I tell you what, Chambliss is not as much of a runner as you would think in terms of yards gained rushing, but 16-1 is a pretty good number. You probably like Malachi Toney at 8-1, don't you?
I mean, I guess Fletcher is the chalkiest of the opportunities, right? By the way, Luke Haz, the tight end for Ole Miss, did catch a touchdown against Georgia, his lone touchdown reception of the season. Ole Miss will start with the ball in hand, and we will get to see number 6, Trinidad Chambliss, out there after a unbelievable Sugar Bowl performance, Matt. 362 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, avoiding sacks left and right. And this is the matchup I was curious to see. Reuben Bain, 16 pressures in the 2 playoff games against Trinidad Chambliss. It's going to be a lot of fun here, and we are about to be underway down there at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
Chambliss in the shotgun to start it off. Tim, in 2024, he had to win a quarterback competition at Ferris State just to get the starting job. In the first game as a starter at Ferris State, Division II, he threw 2 interceptions, and the team lost 19-3.
Really?
Yeah, Ferris ended up winning the Division II national championship that season. He started to get some offers. I believe you were talking about the Temple offer, right?
That was the rumor. Yeah,
thoughts that he was headed to Temple. Ole Miss came in and got him at the last minute. And he didn't get the job at Ole Miss until Austin Simmons went down with an injury 3 games into the season. Short pass completion on first down. Kawan Lacey up the middle for about 2 yards on second down. I think we're going to have 3rd and 4 right here. But, yeah, Trinidad Chambliss led Ferris State to the Division II National Championship before he transferred to Ole Miss. And if he can get another year of eligibility, he's going to make big money next season. This could be his last game, though.
Could be, yeah. He has said he will come back if they grant him a 6-year of eligibility, so we will see if that comes to fruition. So we have a 3rd down upcoming, but an injury out there. No real movement to the live line. A little movement to the under, down to 51.5. So 2 plays.
2 plays.
2 plays, a little movement to the under. Funny how things work. Live line still 3.5, minus $1.95 for Miami on the money line, plus 150 for Ole Miss. Kawan Lacey, he announced he's coming back as well, Matt. He is an absolute stud, and there was thoughts maybe he would follow his former coach and go to LSU. He is not draft eligible. He's a true sophomore, but he has announced he will be returning to Ole Miss. So, you know, it's we'll see how this whole roster plays out when they ultimately their season comes to a close, Matt. But it feels like right now the momentum is for a lot of these guys to stay at Ole Miss, but money talks, as we all know.
Yeah, what do you think money is saying to Damon Williams, the quarterback at Washington?
Go back to Washington. That's the latest rumor. What a disaster that has been.
Money talks until the lawsuit takes over.
Yeah.
Anyway, big number 99, defensive tackle for the Hurricanes, had some sort of leg injury. He jumps up, looks like he's going to be okay. I think it's interesting. Circa apparently took a sharp bet on the total, under 53.5 at the last minute, dropped the total to 52.5, and DraftKings now got the live number at 51.5. So we'll see if early indications on the under. You bet the first half under, but not the game under?
Correct. First half, not game. So I'm sure what could possibly go wrong? I'm sure it'll be a high-flying first half, and things will come to a screeching halt in the second half. There's nothing worse than hope. As we see the pressure, Matt from Miami, get to Trinidad Chambliss. He does get the ball away, but a three and out for the Ole Miss offense, and that is exactly what Corey Heatherman and this defense were hoping for. They brought the blitz, and the pressure got to Trinidad Chambliss, and just like that, we'll see the Ole Miss offense head off the field, and Miami's defense gets a early stop here.
Well, you got a linebacker blitzing up the middle. Kawan Lacy needs to pick up that blitz. He just gets kind of a half-ass block on him there, and he lets the blitzer right through into Trinidad Chambliss' face. He's got to unload the ball. You know, in the second half against Georgia, Kirby Smart brought the heat a couple of times, but Chambliss was able to scramble away from it and make plays. Right there, he didn't have a chance to scramble and make a play, and it's going to be a punt from Ole Miss on the first possession.
I believe intentional grounding was called as it was a 4th and 17 here. So a very good punt as Malachi Toney dangerously does return that for a couple of yards, and Miami's offense will start at around their own 35-yard line. Matt, you mentioned the stats for Carson Beck.
By the way, Miami up to a 4.5-point favorite on the live number.
Right.
There you go.
Time to bet Ole Miss?
Already did. I'd rather have the 4.5. Took Ole Miss plus 3.5 pregame. That's what he said. I didn't make a big bet on that. So if I felt like there was a spot I wanted to grab Ole Miss plus 4.5, I would. Tim, I think it's a little bit too early for that.
I think what Shannon Dawson should do, clear it out, quarterback draw, 5 yards. Let's start the game the right way. Miami, one of the slower teams in college football, and they will start it off with a Mark Fletcher run. And that's what they want to do, Matt. Pick up about 6 yards on their opening run here. And they want to grind this clock and keep Trinidad Chambliss on the sidelines. For Carson Beck, Matt, so far in this postseason, no interceptions, which is something that I think Miami fans are very curious about. In their two losses against Louisville and SMU, a combined 6 interceptions in this postseason, no interceptions, but haven't really stretched the field vertically, right? They have stayed close to the running game, a lot of short passes, and we see another short pass here, and the first down of the game goes to the Canes, as just like that, Miami nearing midfield, and let's take a look at the live number. 51.5 still remains the total, but the money line out to minus 230 now on Miami as some early success here for the Canes offense.
Quick mention of college hoops tonight. We talked about Michigan State and Northwestern. The Purple Cats, big dogs in that game in the Big Ten tonight. And by the way, can we get that on a TV in here? What do you think?
45, Michigan State, Northwestern?
Yeah, 45-43, yeah, Northwestern with a 2-point lead. There's a pass over the middle. Carson Beck had his man, but he overthrew him. So that's going to be incomplete. A chance there to hit for a big play. Hurricanes don't do it. 45-43, Northwestern with the lead with 11:44 to go in East Lansing.
That was busted coverage or confusion, Matt. Malachi Toney, if that ball is thrown in the right area, that's a touchdown.
What's the safety doing there? This always bothers me about that zone coverage. How can the safety let Malachi Toney just run by him? What are you defending?
Ole Miss dodged one there because he was open. If that's a better throw, that's a touchdown from Carson Beck.
What's more important than defending Malachi Toney when he's running by you on a streak? Huh? Seriously, what's the safety thinking right there?
He's thinking, I don't need to cover 10. Are we in zone or are we in man? I don't know what's happening. But a big third down upcoming right now here for the Miami offense as they just got 2 yards on a Mark Fletcher run up the middle. And we will see what the decision here for Shannon Dawson in this offense. How aggressive are they at midfield with Carson Beck? Once again, no picks so far this postseason, but In the two games they lost, four against Louisville, two against SMU. And we will see what they decide to do here. A big third down. Run, Carson. Yeah, baby. There we go. Yeah. Carson Beck running for 7 yards. That's what I'm talking about there. Now, no more sacks. By the way, we have a VSIN intro offer going on right now.
You might want to mention, too, he's a little bit short. It's big fourth down.
Big fourth down. Fourth and two coming up. All we care about are our bets, right? Isn't that the way the world works? VSIN.com/subscribe. Miami's offense staying out on the field. And we will tell you what happens on this fourth and two when we come back.